All right, we're going to start with the Mishnah on Chet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, as a rake even l'rishut rabim, someone who throws a stone into Rishut Rabim, harag, and then kills someone, or is it goleh? He goes into galut, he's put into galut, because he's considered to be a reg bishogeg, or rotzeach bishogeg, someone who killed by accident. Now, he could have been more careful to throw a stone out into Rishut Rabim, but he did not intend to kill anybody. The Gemara will ask about what exactly the situation is. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Meir im mishekiyatzta ha'evin miyado, one of the point that he's released the stone, hotzi halet rosho, the other individual then came into the trajectory of the rock, v'kabla, and then it caused the collision between the stone and the individual. Harzeh patur. That case, the person is patur, he does not go into galut. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it really depends on whether the person was already in the trajectory of the stone, meaning that once the stone was released, the person was in that trajectory and didn't move. Whereas if someone moved into the directory of the stone, there they would not get galut. If they're already standing there, then the individual would get galut for throwing the stone and killing this individual. Now, next case is, Zarak et ha'evin l'chatzero. Someone throws a rock in his own chatzer. Bharag, and it ends up killing someone in his chatzer. Im yesh reshut l'nizak l'kanesham. If the individual was killed by the throwing the rock, has permission to be in that yard or in that chatzer, then golet. He gets put into galut because he should have been more careful. Vim lav, had he not know, or if the person did not have permission to come in there, ain't no golet, because there was no way he should have known that this individual was coming into his yard, into his chatzer. Shenemar, v'she yavo et reo bayar, because it says that the case of Hareg Bishogeg and the case of Galut, which is mentioned in Perek Yutet in Dvarim, says Yeshaveu Ereu Bayar Vachtov Eitzim Nitcha Yado Bagazin Nechot Eitz Vanashal Parzel and Eitz Matza Et Reu Vameit Hu Yanus El Echaterim Eile Vachai. So when it says Yeshaveu Bayar, what's significant about the Yar, about the forest? Well, that's what the Mishnah says. Ma Yar Reshut Nizak Ulamazik. Just like a forest is a place, a public location, a public place where everybody has permission to be, both the person who is doing the injuring or killing in this instance, as well as the one who is the victim. So therefore, anytime you want to talk about galut, you've got to be talking about a place where both of them have permission to be there. Yatzach chatzer balabait, we're talking about a private property, a private ownership, the victim had no permission to be in there, and therefore he will not be put into galut. The killer in this case will not be put into galut. Avashol omer, ma chatavat itzim reshut. Just like chopping wood is something that you have the option to do, afko reshut. So too, anything where it's an option to do it. Yatza ha'av ha'makeyad b'no. Excluded from this, or these are the individuals that are excluded from going to galut, because they are performing a mitzvah. That's ha'av ha'makeyad b'no, a father that's hitting his child. Or a rav ha'radeh talmido, a rebbe who is directing his student, or giving him some physical direction. U'shliach beizdin, and the shliach beizdin was given the right, or was given the instructions to go and give or hit an individual, or give makot to a certain individual. So Gemara now asks about the Mishnah. The Rishut Rabim, if he throws a stone into Rishut Rabim, mezidu, he's a mezid, that's not a shogeg. When a person throws a stone or a rock into the Rishut Rabim, he's got to expect the fact that there are people there. And therefore, if it hits someone, you can't classify him as a shogeg, he's a mezid. Samar Shmuel Bar Yitzhak b'soter et kodo. That Samar says it's a case, or he suggests now that it's a case, where he's demolishing his wall. So Mar says, okay, just because he's demolishing his wall, he should have looked on the other side of the wall to make sure that there was nobody there when he was demolishing the wall. So Mar says, he's doing it at night. He didn't expect anybody to be there at night, so he's demolishing the wall at night. And when he demolishes the wall, all of a sudden there's somebody there. So Mar says, at night, you also have to check. I mean, people have the right to be in the Rishut HaRabim both during the day and during the night. If they have a right to be there, that means that you need to check. You have to have an expectation that there's a possibility that someone would be there. So Besoter et kotlo de ashpa. Mar says, no, here's the case. The case is actually where he's demolishing his wall, but he does it into a garbage dump, or we'll call it an outhouse of sorts, that he dumps the wall, he's demolishing the wall, and it falls into that area. So when it says, hi, ashpa, hechi dummy, this garbage dump, what are we talking about? Ish chichi beirabim, if it's a outhouse or a dump where people go to relieve themselves during the day and the night, that people are always there, pusheo, then it's no different than being in the Rishut HaRabim. Ilosh chichi beirabim, if people do not frequent this place, meaning it's a desolate place, then anusu, then he's an anus because he shouldn't have expected anybody to be there. So Amara Papa, so Rapapa comes around and says, no, no tzricha. Now the case over here is Now we've changed. We've gone through all these different permutations. We started out with a permutation that it was throwing a stone into Rishud Rabim. Then we said it was demolition of a wall. Then he said it was a demolition of a wall at night. And then we moved over to the Ashpa. We moved out to this dump or this outhouse. When we moved over to the dump and outhouse, we rejected, Tosfos and Rashi both mentioned, we rejected this idea that it was during the night. We're back to it's a daytime effect. And now during the daytime. So the case here is, L'tzricha la'ashpa suya lifanot ba balayla v'ina suya lifanot ba bayom. It's a case where he's destroying or demolishing his wall during the daytime. And you have a dump or an outhouse which is frequented by people during the night. But in asuil if not babayom, but people do not generally use it during the daytime either because of the exposure. It was too people would see them at night where there was no lighting. Then it was okay to use, but during the day they did not use it. So ve'ika den mikre v'yotiv. So then it's sometimes on occasion when somebody was in an emergency situation, they would come and use this area to relieve themselves during the daytime. So poshea lo havi. He's not a poshea. Da'ina suya lifno babayom. He didn't really expect anybody to be there because people don't generally use it, this outhouse or this dump during the daytime. About ones nami lo havi. Right? He's also not an ones over here because da'a ika de mikroviyota. Because on occasion somebody does come here and he had to have some thought about that. And that's what makes him to a shogig here. So this case that the Mishnah sounds like so simple, which is that he threw a stone into Rishut Rabim, the case is actually much more complicated. We're talking about a case of demolition of a wall or throwing even garbage or anything into a dump that is frequented by people at night, but not during the day, and he's doing his operation during the day. Nevertheless, he should have been careful because on occasion people come into this area, but he's not considered a poshea because it wasn't something that he really should have expected, or it's not something that would have been normal to find people in this location. Now, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says that it has to be that the stone in its trajectory, and when it was released, it was already on a trajectory to hit the person. Now that the victim moved into the trajectory of the stone. So Mar wants to know, Tana Banan, where does he know this from? Matzah, it says by the Pasuk in Edvarim, it says, V'nashal barzel man eitz, u'matzah et re'ehu, and it finds his friend. So where's Matzah? Prat l'mamtzi et atzmo. Matzah means that he found that the, whether it's the iron on the hand, the axe or the splinter that shoots off from the wood that he's chopping, flies out and finds his friend. But that's that he finds his friend, not that the friend finds it. So Mikana Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Imish Yatztayev in Miyado, if when he released the stone, Hotzi Halet Rosho, the other individual moves into the trajectory of the stone, Vikabla, and he then causes the collision between the two, Patur. So the Mara says, the Memra, the Matzah mi'ikaro mashma. So based on this, our assumption is that the meaning of the word Matzah et re'eyu in the Pasuk means that his friend was already there. I mean that Matzah means that it's already in the past tense, it's already happened and he is still there. So is that really true? So we have another Pasuk, which says, V'rimini. We have a question from a Braita. U'matzah prat limatsui. So we have a Pasuk by the selling of one's field, that if they want to redeem the field, over there the Pasuk says, V'hisika yado, u'matzah kedei geulato. If he gets wealthier, or if he comes into some money, and now he wants to redeem his field, matzah kedei geulato, he has the ability now to redeem his field, then he's permitted to redeem the field from the buyer. So the Bryce over here says, prat limatsui. That's something that was already present. What do you mean, prat limatsui, something that was already present? Meaning, if he had a field that was in another country, or in another location, or he had something that was further away, and this is closer, then we do not give him permission at this point in time to redeem the field. Meaning, since this choice was available to him at the time that he sold the field, that does not mean v'siga yado matzak delato. That's not new monies or a new situation that has arisen that allows him now to sell the field and or to get monies to redeem the field, because it was a pre-existing condition. The fields already exist. If he sold this field here and he had a field further away, he could have always just sold the field further away. The fact that he sold this field now doesn't give him the right to go sell the field further away and now come back and redeem this field. That he's not permitted to do, because that choice was available at the time that he sold the field. But what do you see from this? We say umatzah. Matzah means in the present tense. Now he finds the ability to redeem it. Prada matzui, that excludes something that was already or pre-existing. In the way we're learning matzah, we're saying it has to be pre-existent, that the person has to be in the trajectory of the stone at the moment the stone is released. That means that he was already there. Whereas over here, where we're saying no, matzah means from now forward, meaning from the present tense, prospectively, that he finds the ability to redeem himself. So, the person shouldn't sell something a field that was further away, that was available at the time that he sold this field, and then he'll redeem the field closer. He had a field that was of lesser quality, that was available at the time that he sold the nicer field or the better quality field. You can't sell the lower quality field to redeem the better quality field. It has to be all something that changes, something in his status that's changed at this point in time. So Rava says, I'm a Rava, no problem. You have to look at the context of the pasuk. What is it? By the pasuk of redeeming one's field. What's the context? It says, Dumya v'disiga yado. That he has now the ability, he's reached the point where he has the ability to pay. What does it mean? If he reached the point where now he can redeem it, means that he's come into money. It's something new. It's a new event. So that matzah is going to be parallel to the hisiga yado. Af matzah, nami mashta, is prospectively, and he now finds the ability to redeem it. Over here, by us, in the case of horeg b'shogeg, or ratzeach b'shogeg, we also look at the context. It says umatzah dumya diyar. Talking about that he's umatzah treyu. Where is this all taking place? It says sheyavo treyu bayar. They're in a forest. My yar midid the itami koro. Like just like the forest pre-exists the whole situation that took place. Af matzah nami midid itami koro. Also here the matzah is talking about a situation in where everything pre-existed. I mean all the variables were already in place at the moment that the kli or the utensil that does the killing is released or goes on its trajectory. So he says, right, matzah is an undefined word. Matzah sometimes can mean already existent or pre-existing. Sometimes matzah means prospectively. You have to look at the context. So in our context, it means pre-existing. And in the context of geula, it means prospective. And now the Mishnah continued and says that's for a mitzvah. For when it comes to a mitzvah, then that person does not go into galut. So I'm going to learn about the Ravavo. Mimai de mechatavta etzim de reshut. How do I know that the chativat etzim, in the person who goes out into the yar, says in the pasuk sheyavot reyo bayar lachtov etzim, he goes out to chop wood. How do I know that the chopping of wood is done reshut, is an optional chopping of wood? How come? Dilma, mechatavta etzim de sukkah, mechatavta etzim de maracha. There could be chopping wood. Chopping wood could also be for a mitzvah. Why is it so obvious in our Mishnah, according to Abba Shaul, that the chopping of the wood here is an optional of chopping wood? It could be he's chopping his wood to make a sukkah. Or it could be that he's chopping wood for the mizbeach, to put on the mizbeach. So those are both chopping wood for a mitzvah. And the pasuk still says, go into galut. So since we don't know what the chatavat eitzim, lachtov eitzim is in the pasuk, the chopping of the wood, so the chopping of the wood could be any of these conditions. It could be a condition where you're doing it for your own personal reasons, but also could be a situation in which you're doing it for a mitzvah. And nevertheless, the pasuk says, go into galut. So why is it so obvious to Abba Shaul that the chopping of wood that's mentioned in the pasuk is talking about reshut? Samalei, kevan di matzah chatuv lav mitzvah. Right, so since if he finds already chopped wood, there is no mitzvah. Hashanami lav mitzvah. So too over here, it's not a mitzvah to cut wood. Meaning that there is no mitzvah to cut wood to make a sukkah, and there is no mitzvah to cut wood to put on the mizbeach. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to build a sukkah, and the mitzvah is to put the wood on the mizbeach. How you get that, or how you make that possible, that's not an interest of the pasuk. It's not an interest in the mitzvah either. I mean, if you find ready-made wood, you're allowed to use that to build your sukkah. If you find a ready-chopped wood to put on the maracha, you can use that wood. We're not interested in how you came into, or how that wood was created. We're interested in that the wood ends up in the mizbeach, or that the wood is made into a sukkah. So that's the, as Rashi points out, ein achatavah mitzvah. The chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah, the asiyata sukkah. The making of the sukkah is a mitzvah, which is also interesting in of itself, because the real mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. But nevertheless, we say that, and the making of the sukkah is really just the hechsher mitzvah. It's just preparing you so that you can sit in the sukkah. Nevertheless, there's a special status for certain mitzvot. For instance, like tzitzit and sukkah. Nitziv says this on the issue of tzitzit and sukkah. It makes the point that what's called a hechsher mitzvah shekotuva betorah. Sometimes there's a hechsher mitzvah preparing for a mitzvah that's written in the Torah. In the case of sukkah, it says that you have to selecha sukkot, that you have to make sukkot. So when you have to sukkah to selecha, when you make a sukkah, even though the mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah, nevertheless, the Torah tells us the hechsher mitzvah is also a part of the mitzvah, because it says make a sukkah. There's a demand in the Torah to make a sukkah. Same thing with tzitzit. Even though the wearing of the tzitzit is what the mitzvah is, nevertheless, it says in the pasuk that you have to make v'zalachem tzitzit, that you have to make tzitzit, or gedilim tasalacha, that you have to make tzitzit. So since you have to make tzitzit according to the Torah, that's also, even though it's a hechsher mitzvah, nevertheless, it has a special status. It's a hechsher mitzvah ktuvah b'Torah, and has maybe have the other nafkaminot, including maybe making a bracha. It's possible that you would make a bracha on the binyan sukkah, and you'd make a bracha on the asiyat at tzitzit. There are deot in the gemara minachot, and the gemara in sukkah of these possibilities, even though we, in the end, make the bracha only on the levisha and on the sitting in the sukkah, nevertheless, we have in mind for the actual building of the sukkah and the making of the tzitzit, because these are unique mitzvot. But nevertheless, that only extends to items that are mentioned in the Torah, items that tell you asiyat sukkah or the making of the tzitzit. But things that are not mentioned, for instance, the cutting the wood to make the sukkah, or the gathering of the wood to put on the marachal. We have a mitzvah to put wood on the mizbeach, but we don't have a mitzvah that says to cut the wood. Therefore, those are completely reshut, or they're hechsher mitzvah. And even if you don't have anything and you chop for it, that's not going to be classified as a mitzvah, because that's not part of the requirement of the Torah. So, Eidvei Ravina the Rava. So, Ravina challenged Rava's position over here about this. Yotzaav amakeyed beno. Our mission says you're excluding a father who hits a child, or a Rebbe who is hitting the student in order to direct him on the right path. Ushliach beitin. So Mar says, Lema kevin dielu gomir. Had they finished what they were doing, lav mitzvah, there's no longer a mitzvah. Hashunami lav mitzvah. Well, you just said that if once you've completed the action, there is no more mitzvah. So to over here, if he's already hit his child, or the Rebbe already hit the Talmud, or the Beis Din already carried out, executed the sentence of Makot, then there's no more right to hit these individuals. So now if they hit, or the father hits the son after he's already punished improperly, or the Rebbe of the student, then you hit them again afterwards, and that's not a mitzvah. So since there are situations where you hit and it's not a mitzvah, then let's say the same thing. When he's hitting, it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to direct the person on the correct path, to give them tochacha. But the mitzvah is not to hit. Hitting is the vehicle to allow you to accomplish what you need. But that's not the mitzvah itself. Because you see afterwards that there's no mitzvah to hit when there's no requirement for tochacha, there's no requirement for direction to the child or to the talmid. So hatam, no. Rava responds and says, no, hatam, afagri of the gamir mitzvah. Even if you finished hitting, there's still a mitzvah to hit. Now this is true, to be honest, it's only true by the father to the son and maybe the Rebbe to the Talmud. This is not true of a Shliach Beis Din. Once a Shliach Beis Din has finished his work, then there's nothing to talk about. So Tosus asks this question, and he says, well, over there, it might be different. By Shliach Beis Din, he's only a Shliach Beis Din when he's carrying out the tzivui of Beis Din. Once, now, if he's hitting beyond what Beis Din instructed him, he's no longer a Shliach Beis Din. So therefore, he's not even in the category. So any Shliach Beis Din is always doing a mitzvah, because he's only a Shliach Beis Din for what the Beis Din allowed, and that's the only time he's doing a mitzvah. Outside of that, he's not a Shliach Beis Din, and there's no mitzvah. By a father and a Rebbe, there is a mitzvah to hit, even when there is no, quote-unquote, a direct purpose over here, and that's based on the pasuk, Tichtiv, Yaser Bincha, Venichecha, that person who afflicts their child, hits their child, they will give you peace. Meaning that if you keep them in line and you're strict with them when they're younger, then they will give you peace. V'itein madanim l'nafshecha, and they'll give pleasure to your soul as they get older. Meaning that there's a value to imposing and having a child understand the limits and the direction and the fear of a parent or a Rebbe, that the value beyond the direct situation. There's a more global or longer term effect, and therefore maybe hitting the child or exerting force on the child might have benefits even outside of the direct tochacha, and therefore Rebbe says there is a mitzvah. It says it's always a mitzvah. That's why they are peturim over here. Hadar amar Rava, lav miltihi. Rava then recanted on his explanation over here about chativat etzim, demrei, because he says, v'asher yavo et re'eu bayar. I have a better proof. I have a better solution to the problem. How do you know that the chativat etzim over here, the chopping of the wood over here is reshut? The chopping of wood for sukkah and for maracha is not a mitzvah. Yes, I said I have a better answer. Why? Because let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, yavo et re'eu bayar, di bayayo, vilo, ibayilo ayo. Because it says, v'asher yavo et re'eu bayar, that he comes into the forest. Now, asher means that he has a choice. He decided to come into the forest. Well, you can only decide to come into the forest when you're not doing a mitzvah. Because asher means choose. Choosing is only an option when you're doing something that's for your personal usage. But if there was a mitzvah to go in and chop, then it wouldn't be asher yavo ben yar. It would be, right? He would be kasher baliyar, or he's baliyar. He has to come in, or he has to be in the forest. So there's no choice over there. So that's how we know. mitzvah misagya deloayo. If you think that we're talking about chativat etzim for a mitzvah, if you think we're talking about wood for a mitzvah, then misagya deloayo. How could it be okay for him to choose not to go in? He doesn't have such a choice. He must go in that case. So amalei ravada bravo the rovo kohecha div asher dibayu. So you think the word asher at the beginning of the pasuk means something optional? Is that really true? Olamiato. This week, upcoming week's parsha Chukat talks about someone who is tamei mate. The ish asher yitma velo itchata, a person who is tamei mate velo itchata, and he decides not to come tahor, and then he goes into the mikdash. Right, then he is going to be chayav karet. So when it says ibay mitame, ibay lo mitame, so you're suggesting over here that the tumat mate is optional, that he became tamei mate because he could choose to become tamei mate, he can choose not to become tamei mate. Well, that's probably most cases. Most cases, you can make a choice. I mean, maybe if it's pet the pitom, he can. But most cases, you can make a choice. Ah, but there's a mitzvah out there that would force you to become tamei. Mate mitzvah, delosagi delo mitame, hachanami de potur. So what your suggestion is, only when it's an option to become tamei or not become tamei, then you're chayav for entering into the mikdash. Is that really true? Well, so that based on that, when is there an obligation to become tamei? Well, we have a mitzvah like that. It's called mate mitzvah. There's a corpse that is out there that has nobody to tapel to take care of them, and you come along and you're now taking care. You are obligated to take care of that mate, and you have to be a tamei mate. I mean, even a kohen gadol, even a nazir has to be tamei mate for a mate mitzvah. So that's an obligation. So now, what are you going to suggest? If the pasuk says it has to be optional to be chayav entering the mikdash, then what happens when it's an obligation? So you're suggesting now if a person becomes tamei because they were metapel but made mitzvah, they can go into the mikdash? No problem, because they didn't have an option about it. Well, is that really true? Al kanami depotur? So that is unacceptable. You can't go into the mikdash just when you're tamei, no matter how you became tamei. When it says shaniyata, over there it's different. Amar kura. The pasuk says, it's actually earlier in the beginning of Chukat, it says tamei iya, that he will be. If he becomes tamei mate and he doesn't cleanse himself, then tamei iya, he remains tamei. Mikom akom. That doesn't matter how you became tamei. As long as you are tamei, there's a problem for entering into the mikdash. Mar says, how can we violate? We need that tamei for something else. The Tanya, how do I know that when a person is tamei tuma, there are different levels of the tuma they have. They can be tamei mate, or they can be tamei something that makes them tamei for 7 days. Then they can go to the mikveh on the seventh day, and they have what's called Herev Shemesh. They are now waiting for the sun to set. That's called a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is someone who has already gone to the mikveh, and they're just waiting for the sun to set in order to come to Hor. That's a Tvul Yom. Then there are additional 4 categories of individuals. That's a Zav, a Zava, Yoledet, and a Mitzorah. That's not sufficient to make them to Hor. Not only do they have to, for instance, in the 7 days become to Hor, whatever the procedure is, but they also have to, on the last day, go to the mikveh. On the 7th day, they go to the mikveh and have sunset. But in addition to that, they have to bring Karbanot on the 8th day in order to become to Hor. That's something called Mechus Mechusar Kippurim. If they've done everything except brought their karbanot, that's Mechusar Kippurim. They're missing the kapara that will make them tahor. So there are different categories. We have a tamei, someone who's fully tamei. We have a tvul yom, somebody who has already gone to the mikveh, just waiting for the sun to set. And then we have Mechusar Kippurim. He's done everything except he hasn't brought his karbanot. How do we know those individuals are restricted from going into the mikdash? So that's what the Kedanya. Tamei, yeah, they're about tvul yom. Tamei, yeah, comes to teach you that includes a tvul yom. Someone who has tamei mate, who was sprinkled on the 3rd day and the 7th day, and then on the 7th day went to the mikveh, and they're just waiting for the sun to set, they're a tvul yom, they go into the mikdash, they're chayav, karet. Then after that in the pasuk says, tamei ye od tumatobo. What do you do with od tumatobo? They're both mechusar kippurim. That includes someone who has done their procedure for the 7 days, and they are now tahor. They went to the mikveh on the 7th day, and the sun set on the 7th day. Nevertheless, they are still obligated to bring a korban on the 8th day. Until they bring their korban, they're called a mechusar kippurim. What happens if the mechusar kippurim then enters into the mikdash before he's brought his karbanot? That's otumatobo. Since if his tuma is still on him and he enters into the mikdash, chayav karet. So you can't use this tamei yet to teach you no matter how you became tamei, you're chayav, whether it happened through a reshut or whether it happened through a mitzvah, because we already need that for this braita. So he said, Amalei, ana mi od tumatobo kamina. Now, tumatobo we already used in the braita, but the word od he didn't use. That's an extraneous word. So that comes to teach you that od teaches you no matter how he becomes tamei. So now we'll have vasher, yavo. Right, so that there is asher, someone who becomes tamei, which is asher yitma velo yitchata, that's optionally becoming tamei. Someone optionally becomes tamei, restricted from going to mikdash, gets charet. Someone who is obligated to become tamei, like a mate mitzvah, that we learn out from the word od. Mechusar kippurim and tvul yom, we learn that out from tamei, and od tumato bo, those teach us that a tvul yom and mechusar kippurim have the same status as a regular tamei mate. So that's how you'll learn it out. So Tosfos asked the obvious question, well, you could just leave out the pasuk, you could leave out the word basher, and you could also leave out the word od, and then you'd never have a problem. Because asher teaches you reshut, and od teaches you even by mitzvah. So if you just wrote nothing, then you would assume that it's everything. Why do you need both of them? So he says, yesh lamar, dasher orche dekrahu. The word asher was the normal linguistic way to write the pasuk, and in this normalistic way, we end up giving this limud. To offset the limud, we need the word ode over here. Now that is a sugya. The sugya over here asked the question from our mission. That's why it's found over here. But this is a case where Rava is asked about something. How do we know that a limud is talking about reshut? It's talking about something that's not a mitzvah. Rava gives an explanation. We question him from our mishnah. He answers up that question. Then Rava recants on his statement and comes up with a better solution to how he can explain that the case in the pasuk is reshut. So we had that. We just did this by the case of chopping wood in the forest. The Gemara now says, "Ve'ika demat nina aha." That whole sequence of events was not talking about a case of chopping wood in the forest, but on a different limud. And that's what they say over here. "Ir makleha becharish uvekatsir tishbot." Says that one must refrain from doing work, plowing, and harvesting. Now this is found adjacent to a pasuk that's talking about Shabbos, but it doesn't seem to really be talking about Shabbos, because if it's talking about Shabbos, all the malachot are asurot. So why would only uniquely speak about harish uvekatsir? And that's Rabbi Akiva's question. Rabbi Akiva Omer, "Eino tzarich lamar harish shel shvi'it vekatsir shel shvi'it." So Rekiva law comes along and says, wait a minute, that Harish Bekitzir Tishbot is talking about somewhere where it's normally a sur to plow and to harvest. What is that? That's the Shemitah year, the Shvi'it year. Meaning that the Torah starts out talking about Shabbos, but then switches to Shvi'it, to talking about Shemitah. And in Shemitah, it's impermissible to plow and to katsir and to harvest. So then Rabbi Kiva says, wait a minute, why do I need that pasuk at all? It says, but we already know these are Sim Sadcha, Lotizra, Vichamercha, Lotizmor. Says over there, it says you're not allowed to plant and you're not allowed to harvest, you're not allowed to prune. So we already know that the malachot of the arets are asurim and shvi'it. What do I need another pasuk to teach me b'charish u'katsir? Ella, afilu charish shel erif shvi'it. This comes to restrict plowing even on erif shvi'it. If it's for the benefit of items on shvi'it itself, you're not allowed to plow. You can plow for things on the seventh year, but you're restricting from plowing, and that the mishnayot deal with how much in advance do we stop plowing, how much in advance do we stop doing these items. But there's some sort of buffer beforehand that we say do not plow anymore because you're only plowing for the benefit of the seventh year, and that's impermissible. Also, katsir. What's the katsir? Katsir shel shvi'it sheyatzal moshe shvi'it. These are fruits or vegetation or grains that came, that would grow, grew in the shvi'it, but they only come to ripening or fruition in the eighth year. Nevertheless, since they have kedushat shvi'it, therefore when you harvest them on the eighth year, you cannot harvest them like your regular way. You have to treat them with kedushat shvi'it. Rashi gives the example of the grains already reaching the shlish. If they had reached a third of their growth, then already they have a din of kedushat shvi'it. And therefore, when you harvest them on the eighth year, you have to treat them like perot shvi'it, and you can't harvest them in big quantities, you can't harvest them the normal way. All the restrictions that we have in shvi'it will apply to the eighth year. Tosfos does ask a question here. We're not going to get too deep into it, but it happens to be a big, big machloket arishonim over here. He says, look, ain't ochanami that Rabbi Akiva is right, that we already know about katsir. We already know about harvesting on shvi'it, that that's restricted because the pasuk says, because it says, et sviach kirtzercha lo tiktzor. So there we have a restriction against ktsira. That is true. That's explicit. But there is no pasuk in the Torah that tells you that harisha on shvi'it is asura. How does Rabbi Akiva know that harisha on shvi'it is asur? So that happens to be a machlokes arishonim, which is that, is harisha a din d'oraisa? Is the malach of harisha on shvi'it restricted midoraito? And you see that here from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, harish uva katsir, and harish is already known that it's asur midoraito. So that we know that it's oraita. There are others, like Tosfos seems to lean over here, which say that harisha, the yisur of harisha on shvi'it, is only midorabonon. Ah, so why is Rabbi Akiva over here all of a sudden saying, oh, we know about harish on shvi'it? We don't know about it. So no, he says, no, it has to be, since harish and katsir are put together in the pasuk, they have to have some sort of parallel. If katsir is talking about the katsir of motzei shvi'it, then the harish can't be talking about the harish of shvi'it. It must be talking about the harish of pre-shvi'it in the sixth year. So that's just to give it a parallel to the katsir. But the katsir is really the driving force here because that's already known on shvi'it. Rabbi Shmuel argues on Rabbi Akiva and says, no, that harish and katsir are talking about Shabbos, not about shvi'it. Ah, why then speak about these two malachot and not the other malachot? The answer to that is, ma harish reshut av katsir reshut. That the only thing that's restricted on Shabbos is harish, optional plowing on Shabbos. So too, optional harvesting is restricted on Shabbos. Yatsa, the exclusion, or what does that exclude? Katsira omer. The Ketzira Omer, that harvesting for the Omer, which is a mitzvah, that is permitted, and that's Doche et HaShabbos. Then we learn from this Pasuk, so a mitzvah. So Amalei HaOmer Rabban on the Rabba. So the same question that we had in the previous sequence, which is, one has said, Mimai the Harisha Dereshut. How do you know that the Harisha here is definitely a Harisha Shut? Dilma Harisha Omer. Maybe he's plowing to plant the Omer, the mitzvah, because you need the Ketzira, you need the Omer. So, and nevertheless, the Torah says, Tishbot, keep Shabbos. The Shabbos overrides that. You're not allowed to plow on Shabbos, even though you're plowing for the Omer, which is a mitzvah. So, Rava answers similar to the way he answered on the previous time. I was like, came into Matzah Harush. If he finds something already plowed, Eino Choresh, then he doesn't have to plow. So, Lav Mitzvah. So, therefore, you know it's not a mitzvah. So, Eino Chanami, you might have to plow for the Omer. But since if you found something already plowed, you do not have to plow with intent for the mitzvah, that tells you that the Harisha is never classified as a mitzvah. So, Eidfei Ravina the Rava. So, Ravina asked the same question that we saw in the previous from our Mishnah. Yotzav, Amakeh, Benover, Rav Rodeh, Talmidov, Shlech Beitin, all these cases where they're doing a mitzvah, they don't go into Galut. Vamai, Levan, Kevin, Dilu, Gamir, Lav Mitzvah. If they finished up, then there's no longer a mitzvah to perform it. Hashanami, Lav Mitzvah. So, do it right now, it's not a mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah just to hit, that it's only hitting for the purpose of an outcome, then when the outcome's not there, there's no mitzvah to hit. So, if that's the case, you can't call it a mitzvah based on your logic. So when it says, no, Hatam, the same answer that we gave before, Hatam, Afal Gav the Gamir, even though you finished with the toelet of the hitting, nevertheless, Nami Mitzvah Kavi, there's still a mitzvah to hit or to exert control over the individual, whether it's the Talmid or the child. Tichtev, Yaser bin Chavi, Nechecha, if you oppress the child, I mean, if you keep them in check and you give them Mizgirot, to give them limits on what they can do, and that might have to be done through hitting or just the exertion of authority, and that is still permissible, even though there's no direct toelet right now, there's no direct benefit in the immediate term, even though it's for the long term, that's classified as a mitzvah, since there is a mitzvah to hit in that context. So, Hadamar Rava, Lav Miltahi Damre. So again, Rava recants on his explanation of how we know that the Harisha here is a Harisha Rishut. Over here, it's not so clear, it's not so easy to understand how he rewords it here, but we'll do our best here. In the other case, it was obvious how he changed his da'at with regards to Chativat Eitzim, with the chopping of the wood. Then he compared it, he made the Yar, the forest, the conditional case, not the actual chopping of the wood. So over here, he says, Ketzira dumia de Harisha. You have to have Ketzira just like Harisha. Ma Harisha matzah harush. By Harisha, if he finds it already plowed, Eino choresh. So too, he doesn't have to plow. I mean, if it's already plowed, there's no reason to plow. Af Ketzira nami. So too, by Ketzira, where if you find it already Ketzur, it'd be good enough for you. Therefore, you're not permitted to do Ketzira on Shabbos. So the answer over here, what changed in Rava's statement seems to be over here, that he's saying that Harisha can never be a mitzvah. As opposed to before, where he introduced, or the way that he worded it was, in this instance, it's not a mitzvah, because Harisha for the Omer is not a mitzvah. Since if you found something already Harush, you don't have to be a Choreshit for the mitzvah of the Omer. Therefore, for the Omer, it's not a mitzvah. Along comes now, Rava says, amended, it says, no, Harisha can never be a mitzvah. Harisha is mufka from the parasha mitzvah. There is no mitzvah in the Torah that requires Harisha, period. And therefore, it's mufka from the parasha. So too by Ketzira. Ketzira, the only type of Ketzira that is Asur on Shabbos is something like the Harisha. Just like Harisha is something that never has a mitzvah associated with it. So if we're talking about Ketzira that has no mitzvah associated with it, what's the exception to the world? Ve'isagadatcha. Right, mitzvah. So if you want to say that the mitzvah by Ketzira Domer, Matzah Katsur, Eino Kotzer, maybe you want to suggest by Ketzira Domer also, if he finds it already chopped, already harvested, he doesn't have to harvest again. If that's the case, then it'll be Dumi the Harisha, and you shouldn't be able to do Chashabbos. So there, mitzvah Liktzor Lahavi. That's where he comes out and it says, Uktzartem, that you have to actually do the Ketzira. There's a mitzvah to be Kotzer the Omer. It's not simply that you have to bring the Omer, you have to be Kotzer the Omer. That's part of the mitzvot. Again, it's something that's written in the Torah. It's like written in the Torah, like the case of building the Sukkah, like the case of making the Tzitzit. So also over here, the Ketzira to Omer is a Chiyuf. Harisha, which is a step before, that's only an Echshir mitzvah, but the Ketzira itself is mentioned in the Torah, and that is a mitzvah. And since it's a mitzvah, it is Doche et HaShabbos. Right now, next Mishnah. Av Goleh Yidei Ben. Father can go on Galut if Chas V'Shalom he kills his son. But Ben Goleh Yidei Av, and the same way, the other way around, a child who kills their father, Bishogeg, will also go into Galut. Hagol Golim Ayidei Yisrael, Yisrael Golim Ayideihem. Everybody goes into Galut because of a Jew, and a Jew will be Goleh on the others. The Gemara will ask, who are these others? Now, Chutz, the exception in this case is Migir Toshav, excluding the case of Ger Toshav. And then we have now, but Ger Toshav Goleh ayadei ger koshav. I'm using the gears of the gra. Over here, our gears is a double negative. Eno goleh ela ayadei goshav. So instead of having to be a double negative, you can write the positive statement, which is ger toshav, goleh ayadei ger toshav. And that's the gears of the gra over here. That piece of the ger toshav, which seems to be a stira, which at first it sounds like a ger toshav is mufka from the Pasha of Galut. And then over here, we have him in the Pasha of Galut. That's tomorrow's daf. Then we'll just, the first part of the mission is what we're going to deal with at the remainder of today's daf. Hav goleh ayadei abein. That the father goes into galut for the child. Amart yatsa ava maked beno. A father that hits a child is not going to galut because he's doing a mitzvah. The Gemara says the gomir that he finished hitting him. He taught him everything he needs to know about being hit, and it's over. Gemara says amart avagav the gomir mitzvah kavit. Even though you taught him his lesson, nevertheless there's still a mitzvah to keep his limits and to hit him after that point. So Gemara says no, but shulia denagre. We're talking about him. He's teaching him a profession. He's teaching him how to be a carpenter. He's an apprentice. The son is an apprentice to the father as a carpenter. So he's learning the trade of being a carpenter. So Gemara says shulia denagre chiyuta he delamde. Wait, as Rashi points out, that's a mitzvah. What do you mean? Teaching your child a profession, that's a mitzvah. We know it's an explicit Gemara and Mishnah and Kiddushin. The Mishnah and Kiddushin said the obligations of the father and the son. The father has an obligation to provide a wife for his son. He also has an obligation to teach his child an umanut, and they're learned out from the same thing. Just like a father has to bring a wife to his child, so too he has to teach him a profession. From the Hekesh of Rei Chaim im Isha Asher Hafta. So Rei Chaim, Chaim is Umanut, and Isha is a wife, so there's a Hekesh between them. So he has to provide him Chiyuto L'Isha, he has to provide a Chaim, a way to support his wife. So teaching him a profession is a mitzvah. So how could you claim over here he's not doing a mitzvah? The Gamar Umnata Achrita, it's already his second profession. He already gave him a profession. He can earn money with that profession. Now he's teaching him an additional profession, or he's giving him a higher form of profession. That already may not be as much of a mitzvah, or may not be a mitzvah. And because of that, therefore, he goes into galut over here if he's killed by accident or b'shogeg, because he's no longer in the context of a mitzvah. So if, first of all, he's doing it to direct the child or to give tochacha to the child, or he's doing it to teach the child an umanut, which is also all three of those are a mitzvah, in that case, the father will not go into galut. On the other hand, if it's outside of the context of those three items, then the father will go into galut, and we found a case like that where he already has a profession, he's teaching him a new profession, and that new profession he's killed while apprenticing to the father in the new profession. Now we said a ben goleh de'av, that the son can go on galut because of the father. Now, the Gemara says, "Verminhi, is that really true? We have a brayta, makeh nefesh." So in the psukim in Pamidbar, in Parshat Maaseh, it says about ve'ikritim lachem arim arim klatiana lachem v'nash shama rotzeach makeh nefesh bishkaga. It's an additional pasuk which is l'bnei Yisrael agerado toshav v'tocham tiana sheish arim ayel lemiklat lanus shama kol makeh nefesh bishkaga. So it says makeh nefesh. So what does the nefesh tell us? The nefesh comes to exclude a father, Makenevich, Pratha Makyaviv, excludes a father. Why? Because we say someone who here is only punished because they took the life of the individual. Excluded from that is a father. A child who hits a father is chayav because of the chabura, chavala, and the father. They have a death penalty for hitting the father even if they don't kill him. So therefore, he's not the exclusive case here. It's not a case of killing. When it's exclusively killing, then you put him into galut for that. But when he hits, and he would have been chayav, mita, even without the killing, there he doesn't go into galut. So that's, it goes against our statement of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a son can go into galut. So how do we explain this? Amar Kana Lokasha Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Have you seen Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan we saw in Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin is Machlokas about which of the Arba Mitot Beitin is more chamur. So here, when it comes to Sayif and Chenek, there's a machloket. Rav Shimon Amar Chenek, when it comes to choking chamur misayif, that is more stringent than Sayif. Now I have two punishments for this individual, a son who kills the father. So now, number one, he was chovel in his father, and number two is he killed his father. For killing, we know the punishment for Otzeach is Sayif. The punishment for chovel of a father, parent, being chovel a parent, is Chenek. So now I have two punishments for this child who killed their parent. I have two punishments in front of me. I have the possibility of Saif, and I have the possibility of Chenek. So what do we do when you have two death penalties? We take the more chamur of them. So Reb Shimon, who says Chenek is the more chamur misayif, shigigat Saif nitna la kapara. Therefore, when a person is rotzeach bishogeg, that's when they go into galut. That's what has kapara for it, because that's the lowest form of, right? That's a lower form of mitat beizdin. Shigigat chenek, on the other hand, someone has a shogeg about chenek, lo nitna la kapara. That's a higher punishment. That shogeg doesn't have the ability to be put into galut. So exactly what he says over here. If you believe that chenek is a higher or more stringent form of punishment than saif, Then in our case over here, he's both chayav chenek and chayav seif. What are you going to give him? If he did it b'mezi, what would you give him? You'd give him chenek. So here we're talking about shigat chenek. Shigat chenek, the Torah never tells us about what you do with a shogeg of a chenek. Only does it about shigat seif. It tells us about a shogeg for someone, for rotzeach, whose punishment is b'seif. But that's a lower form of mitah. So therefore, you can go into galut for kapara. But not in this case. Ule rabbanan, who believe the opposite way. Damrei seif, chamor mechenek. That killing by the sword is more chamor than chenek. Then over here, if you have a son who is chovel by his father, and ends up killing him, then you have a choice between chenek and saif. What are you going to give him? You're going to give him saif, because saif is the more chamor. If you're giving him saif, if he was amazing, you give him saif, then now he's a shogeg b'saif. Well, a regular killer, a regular rotzeach is also a shogeg b'saif. Therefore, you'll go into galut. So the Rabbanan will be the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon will be the author of the Braita. The Rabbanan, the author of the Mishnah, that when it comes to someone who hits their father, a child who hits their father, they go into galut because there is shigat saif. Saif is the more chamur of the two punishments. That's what he would get if he was a mezid. Therefore, he's a shogeg saif, and we know what the din of shogeg saif is. The Torah already tells us that he goes into galut. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Braita that says the son does not go into galut, because if we were faced with the choice between chenek and saif, what would we give? We give him chenek, because chenek's the more chamor of the punishments. The Torah only tells us to go into galut for shigat saif. That's a lower form of punishment. But shigat chenek, we don't know what the din is, so he won't go into galut. So Rabbi Shimon will be the author of the Braisa. The Rabbana Damar saif chamor mechenek, orega vi bishogeg shigat saif hi. Shigat saif nitna lechapara. So Rabbi gives another prat, lo se chamor avi bishogeg. Now, even the Rabbana can be the author of the Braita. And the prat over here is someone who does a chabura on their parent bishogeg. Makinei nefesh comes to teach you only when they kill. Only when the individual has been killed do you go into galut. But if it's not killed, if the individual is not killed, even though you hit them, then you do not go into galut. Where's a case where if you hit somebody, there's a death penalty, b'mezid, and b'shogeg, then maybe you would think you go into galut? That's a chavala of a parent. When you're chovel by a parent, even though you don't kill them, you're still chayav mitah. So I would think if it was done b'shogeg, you should go into galut. So along comes the puzzle and says, no, makei nefesh. Only someone who hits and causes death, that's the individual, or the one who can end up in death, that's the individual who gets galut. But not makeh, aviv imo, which would get, is a chavala, that's chayav mitah, they don't go into galut. Sakadatamina kevin de mezid bar katalu, since I would think by the case of chavala, if he did it intentionally, you'd be killed, right? Shogeg nami ligle, he should also go into galut. Kamash malan, no, that's the miut of the pasuk, that he doesn't go into galut. Galut is only for cases of murder, and not for cases of chavala of a parent. Now the Gemara asks, Hakol golim ayidei Yisrael. What does it mean Hakol? Hakol golim ayidei Yisrael etu emai. What does that come to include? It says etu evet vikuti. That comes to include an evet knani or a kuti. So in both of these instances, if they kill a Yisrael, and the law of the land is judged or governed by the basin over there, then ayidei Yisrael, they would end up in galut for killing bit shogeg. Tetanavadan evet vikuti golet. They go into galut, viloke ayide Yisrael, and they can get malkut for a Jew. V'Yisrael, gole, viloke ayide kuti v'eved. And the opposite is true as well, that Yisrael can also go into galut if he kills an eved or a kuti, or if he can be loke because of something he does to an eved and a kuti. So where it says now, bishlam eved v'kuti gole ayide Yisrael v'loke. I can explain to you in the Braita the case where an eved and a kuti go into galut when they kill Yisrael, and they go into malkut when they do something to Yisrael. What's that? Gole dekatle. In a case where they go into galut, in a case where they killed bishlam, gig, they killed a Jew. Veloke, what's the case? Okay, the latya that he curses, right? He's a mikalel. We know that there's a restriction against mikalel. We learned that out from a mei matzino, from nasib amcha, and from a cheresh. So that mei matzino tells you that you can't curse anybody. Anybody you curse is a violation of a lav. Violation of a lav, you get malkot. So here, if they ever the kuti curses a Yisrael, he's going to get malkot. That's the case. Okay, el Yisrael gole. How does that happen? Bishlam al gole, I can come with the case, I get the katle. Okay, Yisrael killed the kuti or the eved, then he goes into galut, if he kills the mishogeg. Eloke, am I? What's the case of getting malkot? So I'm going to say, delatio? Well, you're going to say that the case is that he cursed the eved or the kuti. Well, we said, v'nasib amcha lo ta'or, that you may not curse a person in position of power in your nation, but it says v'amcha ba'osei ma'asei amcha, only somebody who is like you, who does the Torah and keeps the Torah. The Eved and Kuti are not in that category. Since they're not osei ma'asei amcha, they're precluded from that category, and you wouldn't get that. They wouldn't get malko. So even if you curse an Eved and Kuti, you wouldn't get malko for that case. So Amar Rav Barada Kagon Shehid Bo V'Huzam. No, he testified against an Eved and a Kuti, and then they were found to be Edim Zomimim. So here he testified about Eved Kuti, and the punishment for the Eved Kuti that he was testifying about would have been Malkot. And then Edim Zomim come along and say, no, how could you testify about this Eved Kuti? I mean, you were with us. So what do you do? Kashir Zamam. It applies to them, then you get Malkot. So that's the case of Malkot by Ebru Kute. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Now, if you want to do that, how are you going to explain this Braita that we just brought down? We brought down a Braita that has a two-way street. Just like a Israel goes into Galut and gets Malkot from an Ebru Kute. We said Galut is where he kills him. And when's the case where he gets Malkot is when he's an aid that's found to be an aid Zomeim. So now how are you going to do that on the parallel side, which says the other side of that Braita says that even an Eved and a Goy can get Galut and Lokeh Yidei Israel. So again, Galut is where he kills the Israel. Fine. But Lokeh, what's the case of Lokeh? Now you're going to say that he becomes an Eid Zomeim? Wait a minute. Eved she'id, right? What are you going to talk about? Eved she'id bo vuzam? Eved bar eidut hu? Right? Eved's not even the Parsha. Eved is not allowed to be an Eid. He says he's mufka from the Parsha Beidut. So you can't be talking about Eidim Zomeim here. El Amar Ravacha Brei Ravika Hachamai Skinen Kron Sheiko Haka Shein Ba Shavet Pruta. He hit him. He was Chovel on his friend, but it was less than a Shavet Pruta. Why does that matter? Because a chovel bechaveiro, if I'm a person who hits his friend, actually is over a lav, but he also has to compensate. He has to give compensation. So we have now a punishment of malkot and mamon. And we already learned that you can't give him either two rishayot, or in the case of malkot and mamon, you only give mamon. So in a case where he has to compensate, he doesn't get malkot because the compensation overrides it. But whatever case, he doesn't have to compensate. Where's the case where he doesn't have to compensate? When it's less than a shavet pruta. Less than a shavet pruta is nitan lemechila. Since it's nitan lemechila, in that case, it wouldn't be, there's no payment. There's no payment. Then he would get malkot for the lav. Damar Rabbi Ami Am Rabbi Yochanan, Yiko Akash, Ein Pa Shavet Pruta, if he hits him a hit that is less than a Shavet Pruta, Lokeh, then he gets Malkot, Velo Makshinan Haka Leklala. And the other thing we don't do, that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that when you talk about Haka'ah, hitting, and you talk about Klala, a cursing, in Klala it says, Ose Ma'ase Amcha, because it says Nasib Amcha Lo Ta'or, that he has to be like you, has to be similar to you, Ose Mitzvot, and a Jew like you, in order to be classified by Nasib Amcha Lo Ta'or. So there's a question there, since the Sukkim are juxtaposed or adjacent to each other, does that also apply by Haka'ah, by hitting? Is hitting also restricted only to those that are part of Amcha? Or is hitting independent? There's no restriction or limit by hitting, and hitting will apply to anybody. So that's what he said. The limit over here, we're talking about a case where it was less than a Shavu Pruta, and we're not Doresh, that's Muchim, we're not Doresh, the connection between Ekesh, between Hakah and Klala, and therefore only by Klala do we say Bose Maase Amcha. But by hitting, by the case of hitting, we don't have to say Osei Maase Amcha. Even if he's not Osei Maase Amcha, you still are Chayav if you hit your friend because of the pasuk. It says, Pen Yosef, by the Shleach Bezen, you're not allowed to hit more, Pen Yosef, because maybe he'll go over. If he goes over, he's Chayav. From there we learn a Lav, then anybody who hits their friend is also a Chiyuv Lav. So over here, he's going to get punished for the Malkot. The Jew is going to get punished for hitting the Eved and the Kuti when he causes them damage less than a Shevet Pruta, because there's a Lav. And there's no mamon being paid here, so he's going to get malkot. And in the reverse, we can have the same case. An Eved Kuti that hit a Israel, less than the Shavet Pruta, they're also going to be chayav. Because over here, now it can be a two-way street, as opposed to cursing, where it's only a one-way street, because we have the limitation of Osei Maase Amcha. By Hakah, there's no limitation of Osei Maase Amcha. Since there's no limitation, it's a two-way street, and both the Israel and the Eved Kuti can be chayav for hitting one and the other. Okay, we'll stop over here.